Welcome to another episode of Kevo and Heidi's Disney Over Coffee.
I'm Kevo.
And I'm Heidi.
And let's talk about Disney.
Let's do it. Hey, babe.
Hey.
How are you?
Good.
Ready for Dinosaur?
Dinosaur.
Mm-hmm. Well, to start off the episode, I definitely wanted to do our favorites. You ready?
Our favorites?
Yeah, Disney portfolio of favorites. Because the listeners actually haven't heard us really discuss our favorite movies and characters and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
So is this our favorites or are we talking about Dinosaur?
So we're talking about our favorites. Disney overall favorites.
And then we're going to go into Dinosaur?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, we're just going to do favorites.
Okay.
And we're...
What is your favorite animated movie?
Now, mind you, listeners, this actually changes from time to time, depending on what's going on in my life. It goes back and forth between different movies, but my favorite Disney animated movie.
You're making this complex.
I know. I'm sorry. The Lion King. The Lion King is number one.
Boy, give a reason. Give one reason. Just one.
So Lion King, I think the music is great. The colors that they use to really kind of create that savanna-looking, you know, texture of the color, you know, of what I imagine Africa to probably, you know, hopefully still look like, I guess. I really love the way that they animated the animals to look really human-like. I think it's good. And despite what other people might think, I still like the live-action Lion King that they did. I like it. I would still watch it. I would watch it again. I watched it. I liked it. And I would watch it again. But yeah, the Lion King.
Over and over again.
I'm a big Matthew Broderick fan. I'm a big fan of Nathan Lane, who plays Timon. I, of course, like James Earl Jones, you know. Who else was really, really great? Oh, the music is also really great. Like the in-between music by my favorite composer of all time, which is Hans Zimmer. Yes. Oh, and songs written by Elton John. I mean, how much better can you get in a movie? I love it so much. All right, next one.
What's your name? Okay. Favorite live action movie?
Favorite live action movie, Disney. Favorite live action movie. That one's kind of hard because there's so many good ones. I'm going to go with Angels in the Outfield.
Okay.
It's my favorite. I'm not a big fan of like baseball as much as other sports go, but I do like the way that they put together the movie, and it's definitely one that we'll do at some point because it's definitely up there. It's my favorite. That's the first one I can think of right now because there's so many good ones. So Angels in the Outfield.
Your favorite hero?
Ugh, that one is hard. Because often when I think of hero, I do think of like some of the princesses that they've portrayed have been very, you know, heroic. But I also did have a, you know, favorite princess question, so I don't want to take that into consideration. But I will say that a lot of the princesses are heroes in their own right. But my favorite hero, I would have to say, is Hercules. Yes. I really like it.
Yes, I can.
Yes, I can. Hercules.
What is your favorite villain?
Favorite villain. Ooh, this one's good. So there are so many good villains. There are so many bad villains. Very bad villains. But good villains, too. And I'd say my favorite villain is Madame Mim.
Madame Mim.
Do you remember Madame Mim?
No.
So Madame Mim was the villain in The Sword in the Stone.
Oh, yeah. The witch.
Yes. So she's so funny. You know I love witches, and you know that I love a good, funny villain. And I love how she starts, like, changing into all these, like, creatures. She even becomes beautiful for a moment and then goes back to being ugly. And then she gets sick and she has to get a lot of sunshine. And she says, I hate sunshine. I hate it. It's great. I love Madam Mim.
All right. Who's your favorite princess?
So princess, of course, is subjective, I think, because obviously not all of the particular princesses in Disney history have necessarily been princesses, but they're in the princess category.
Yes, they have.
You know
yes,
what I'm saying.
Yes, they are.
So my favorite princess has gone back and forth between Mulan and Belle, because I think they're awesome. But Mulan would be one that's like, technically Mulan. She's not a princess, but I consider her a princess. But I'm going to stick with Belle. Belle is my favorite princess because she loves books and she really can see behind, you know, the ugly exterior. She can love someone for what's inside.
So Belle. That was really deep.
Yeah.
All right. What's your favorite couple?
My favorite couple, I'm actually going to say it's Naveen and Tiana from Princess and the Frog. Mm-hmm. Because I think they really had one of the biggest like amounts of growth in a relationship, because Tiana had to learn how to be less stressed about work and only work and accepting love. And Naveen had to, of course, you know, be a better, kinder person and work harder, even though he came from a lot of money.
Favorite Disney song?
Oh, this one's hard. Favorite Disney song? Ooh, there's so many good songs. So many good songs. I think, so again, this is probably going to change.
All for one.
Yeah, this is probably going to change, you know, after time. Like, it'll change because depending on what my mood is or depending on what's going on, I really, really like certain songs over others. But I'm going to say that right now my favorite Disney song is The Next Right Thing from Frozen 2. And this is when...
Which one is that one?
So this is when Olaf completely melts away and Anna realizes that her sister is dead. And she has to do the next right thing, which is...
She didn't really die. Did she? We're going to have to watch that movie again. I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure she died. She got all frozen. Remember? She like literally got all frozen. And Olaf has to have her magic in order for him to still be alive. Mm-hmm. So that's why I took it as her being dead. Oh, no. And her coming back later. But that song is so heartbreaking.
That's pretty sad.
It's very beautiful, though. So, the next right thing?
The next right thing.
All right, your turn.
All right.
You ready?
Go for it.
Okay. Favorite animated movie?
Robin Hood.
Robin Hood is good.
Oh, it's so amazing.
Ooh la la. Ooh la la. That one is great.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. I love it. What's next?
Favorite live action movie?
Three Musketeers.
I mean, we already covered that one.
Mm-hmm. We already covered it. Yeah. Yeah, you should already know.
It's great.
It's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. Favorite villain?
Oh, man, you skipped one.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Oh, favorite hero. Yeah.
Favorite hero, Wreck-It Ralph, old Ham Hands himself.
Oh, yeah, he is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah, that's a good one. That will be great once we get to that one. That one's going to be good. Favorite villain?
Hexus.
I was hoping...
Fern Gully.
Oh, yeah, Fern Gully's great. I was hoping you would say Scar. Cause
Scar?
I love Scar.
Who's got Scar?
Well, he's awful, but he's got the best lines. I'd say, like, if villains could get, like, really good amount of lines, like, he has some really great lines. But Hexus is great. He looks a little scary. I compare him to, listeners, if you've seen the movie Venom with Tom Hardy, he reminds me of the Venom creature. Hexus, that's what Hexus looks like. Moving around, looking all, whew, getting some shape. Mm-hmm. Favorite princess?
Maid Marian.
Wow, that's a surprise. I was so sure you were going to say Moana.
Why would you just assume?
Because you were so excited when Moana came out.
Of course, it was a great movie.
Yes.
But I'm a sucker for a good love story.
Maid Marian.
Mm-hmm.
Maid Marian's great.
She's so kind.
Very, very sweet. I wish we got more of, like, her behind-the-scenes story. You know, like, her, you know, more of, like, how she felt not being with Robin Hood, you know, all this time. But loving him. All right, favorite couple?
Robin Hood and Maid Marian.
Oh, you cheated.
I didn't cheat. How did I cheat? How did I cheat?
You could have used something else.
Marian, darling. I love you more than life itself.
All right, because you remember that he said that.
Uh-huh. You had to remind me, but...
Yes. All right, favorite Disney song.
Uh-huh. Whatever that song is in Robin Hood.
The one that you always forget the name of.
Uh-huh.
The one that they are dancing to.
Yep.
By the lake.
By the lake. I mean, they're not, but they're just googly eyes the whole time.
Very cute. All right, well, that's it for our favorites. Let's get into Dinosaur.
Dinosaur.
Okay. So, I got some trivia for you. Okay. So, Dinosaur released 2000. During the Cretaceous period, 65 million years ago, a 3-ton iguanodon named Aladar is raised by a clan of lemurs and eventually reunited with his own kind. Directed by Ralph Zondag and Eric Lighton. Voices include Ossie Davis, Della Reese, D.B. Sweeney, Alfre Woodard, Samuel E. Wright, Juliana Margulies, and Hayden Panettiere as Suri. She's been acting since she was a child. I mean, that girl has been... Yeah. I mean, from Remember the Titans to... I mean, she has been acting.
I would not have known that at all.
Yes, I love her. A musical score, James Newton Howard, who also did The Hunger Games. So good. Good composer. The film breaks new ground by combining state-of-the-art computer character animation with digitally enhanced live-action backgrounds. This film was the first to be produced in-house. The Countdown to Extinction attraction at Disney's Animal Kingdom was renamed Dinosaur to tie in with the film.
Well, cool.
Yeah. I got a few more. So one creature that was designed but cut from the film was a Mosasaurus. Large sea-dwelling reptile that would have been used in a scene where the herd goes to a river to drink and encounters the Mosasaurus. Which I am kind of glad that they left that out, because I didn't need no Mosasaurus.
Yeah, and they're like really big,
too. They're really huge. So that in itself, believable that they would have escaped alive? Probably unlikely. Probably unlikely.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now.
The Mosasaurus is length, huge.
49 to 59 feet. That would have had to have been a really big river.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe when they got to that, like, watering hole thing that they were supposed to have or whatever. Probably could have fit in there.
I guess the only way it would make sense is maybe so when they're escaping the island.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he would have needed a lot of water. That's why in... Jurassic World, they put him in that huge tank that leads to the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't have put a gate.
Yeah. Yeah. A meteor that size would have not only vaporized everything within 20 miles, but caused waves 100 feet high, set the entire world on fire, and would have started a winter that would have lasted a decade.
But it's Disney.
It's Disney. We're just having fun.
Okay. It doesn't need to be 100%. I mean, shoot, they talk.
They do talk, yeah. But, I mean, yeah, it's supposed to be just a movie, but... So we start off in a dinosaur breeding ground. An iguanodon mother is forced to abandon her nest, which is trampled by the pursuing Carnotaurus. Carnotaurus?
Carnotaurus.
Carnotaur? You know what I'm saying. So the scene is very, very peaceful, though. We start off with just peace. The birds chirping. We see a whole bunch of eggs in a nest. And then we see this other little dinosaur chasing a little looking butterfly thing.
I'm going to blame it on that duck-billed dinosaur. I bet you that Carnotaurus, he was just hanging out in the woods, not minding his own business.
He was going to attack anyway.
And then, you know, that duck-billed dinosaur came up and was like, meh, meh, meh.
Well, the noise that she makes when she starts crying, like, bah, bah. It's so scary. One moment you're just chilling, watching your eggs in the nest, and then this huge monster comes through and is after everybody.
Mm-hmm. It starts chasing after everybody. Very scary. It turns into a stampede.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the
eggs get squished.
Yeah, the eggs where our main protagonist, Aladar, is. It gets crushed, except for him. He survives.
Mm-hmm. And then we get this huge montage of this egg being traveled all over this mm-hmm. island, I guess.
It reminds me of the beginning of Land Before Time. Kind of replicates that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
A lot just not as scary.
Yeah, just not as scary. And a lot of people did compare this movie to Land Before Time. Mm-hmm. But because that one was done, you know, years before, I can see how a lot of people would be like, oh yeah, this is similar, you know. But I do like the particular animation that they did in the movie. I think it's really nice.
It's really good. I liked it.
It looks very, how do you describe it? Like dewy. It's like,
dewy?
Yeah, it's like very painty. Very like they added a lot of like color to the animals to make them look almost like they had like a moisture on their skin.
Oh, okay.
Kind of the scaliness. Yeah. but you compared the traveling that the egg does similar to Moses.
Mm-hmm. Like Moses.
How he went through all these obstacles and he still survived.
Yeah.
He almost got eaten. He almost got trampled. He's still able to survive. And then you mentioned that he will eventually lead his people to the promised land.
I know. They did. They made it. They made it. Yeah. Aladar. The Moses.
The Moses of dinosaur.
I'm trying to think iguanodons, what period they were in. Were they in the Mosasaurus?
The Cretaceous?
The Cretaceous.
Crustaceous.
I said Cretaceous. You know what I mean.
Yes, I'm thinking it was Cretaceous. But you never know. So years later, a fully grown Aladar and the lemurs take part in a mating ritual. Oh, we kind of skipped over the fact that he gets adopted by lemurs.
Yeah, so the egg ends up on the island. Mm-hmm. And
Alfrey Woodard is his mother.
And
I noticed her voice right away. Her voice is pretty distinct.
I don't even know what that is.
Alfrey Woodard. Luke Cage.
Okay. Yep. Took me a second.
Yep.
I kind of remember people.
Yeah, but she wants to take him in. Of course, her father does not because, you know, he believes him to be a killer. Which, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure iguanodons can mess you up. But they are, as we say, herbivores.
Herbivores.
So they will not be eaten. No lemurs.
But yeah, he grows up. So he ends up with, a brother and a sister.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so there is a mating ritual that they do in this tree. Now, how would you describe this tree?
This tree? How mm-hmm. would I describe it? The dirty tree of love?
You call it a sex tree.
Yeah, I call it a sex tree. Yeah, it's where all the lemurs go for sexy time.
To find mates. But you see that Aladar's brother doesn't find one.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. He doesn't go find one and everything like that.
He also looks different than the rest of them. Like, you notice that his color is not really the same. The rest of them are kind of like gray with black and white. And he's like orange, like a golden orange.
Yeah, he's like gold. You would think, look, he's so shiny.
But maybe it's something that certain animals don't really like to go for that different look. They like to go for their own look.
Maybe.
But they see this like meteor shower in the sky, and this gigantic meteor crashes into the earth. And the explosive blast wave destroys the island and annihilates nearly all of the lemurs.
Yeah, pretty much. It was just him and his family. His
that survived.
His grandpa, his mama, his brother and his sister. Yeah, so they're able to make it out. And then, look, we got to look this up. Because I'm curious if it's a movie thing or if lemurs, because they, like, do this, like, I'm like, do lemurs really do that?
It was very sad, though.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm not saying it was bad. I mean, I understand. I would be crying, too, but I'm curious. I wonder if lemurs actually, like, do that.
Well, listeners, I actually did cry during this part.
Thank you.
Just to imagine these poor little guys just burning to death, essentially. Very sad. It's very sad. What happens next? While crossing the desert wastelands to try to find some, you know, food and shelter, essentially. Meanwhile, the lemurs are just kind of chilling on Aladar's back. But, you know, lucky for them.
Lucky for them.
They have Aladar. they get attacked by a pack of velociraptors. Is that what we think they are?
I think they were velociraptors.
Maybe, I think so.
Maybe because they were some type of raptor.
Well, because I think that the raptors that we see in Jurassic Park, again, are larger than they actually probably would have been back in that time.
Mm-hmm.
I think they made them larger for kind of the scariness of Jurassic Park versus in real life, they actually aren't that big. But they also hunt in packs. So that doesn't make it any easier. Even if they were smaller, they'd still hunt in packs.
But there's a chase and they're able to escape just enough to where then they come across a large herd of dinosaurs trying to get to the promised land.
The nesting grounds.
Yeah, the nesting grounds. Yeah,
which so. I did do some research on the nesting grounds, why they don't stay there full time. So it said that more than likely the nesting grounds are only good during that season for nesting. And then after that, it probably gets too cold for them.
Well, if you think about it, maybe too cold. Maybe, you know, they're really big and they eat a lot of food.
So they got to give it time to replenish. Yeah.
So they gotta migrate. They gotta keep moving, going around.
Plus, it would make sense for predators too, right? You constantly moving. Predators can't get you.
Mm-hmm. You gotta switch up your route too.
But so they end up going and joining this herd rather than being, of course, by themselves. The lemurs befriend Baleen, an elderly brachiosaurus, her friend Ema, a styracosaurus, and Earl, her pet ankylosaurus, who's supposed to be like a dog.
Yeah, he just acts like a dog.
He acts like a dog.
So it's like, you know, my theory when it comes to Disney movies is, you know, a lot of your bad guys, your meat-eating animals and dinosaurs and everything like that, they don't speak, they don't have thoughts and feelings and everything like that.
They just kill.
And I was curious why they decided to make the ankylosaurus, right?
Ankylosaurus.
Yeah, why did they make him a dog? You know, because that's essentially what he was acting like. Why out of all of these other dinosaurs and these lemurs that can speak and have thoughts and feelings, I wonder why they picked this one dinosaur to be a dog.
I don't know. That's a good question. But anyway, they get pushed to the back of the herd because Kron is in charge and he's kind of a jerk.
He's a big old jerk.
We get it right away. He essentially says, "Get out of my way." You know, and but he's supposed to be in charge of this herd, and they get all the way to the back and they see that these, you know, elderly dinosaurs are having a hard time keeping up with the herd because they're moving way too fast. But I understand that it probably is because they are afraid of staying in one area too long because they're not as big of a herd as, you know, you would probably imagine. So they don't want to be picked off by all of the other predators that are coming up behind them. But, yeah, so he tries talking to Kron at one point to kind of slow it down, you know, like to slow down the pace. And Kron does not respond well to this at all.
Is that a challenge?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Neera seems to be a little bit nicer about it, like understanding, I would say. At first, though, I do think that she has some preconceived notions about him, though. Neera being the other Iguanodon that is Kron's sister.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, Aladar and the rest of them continue walking, and we tend to see that the velociraptors are still behind them, but also the Kronotaurs. Kronotaurs is behind them too, like two of them.
Yeah, following them.
Probably looking at their footsteps because they can't hide their tracks, I guess. But they're supposed to make it all the way to this like lake.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like a lake. It's like the halfway point where they can kind of rest and You know, hydrate before, because the next portion after that, it's like nothing but desert and heat and sun.
And what is Kronsen's Bruton?
Yeah, the second in command.
Yes, with a scout to go search for water.
Yeah, because they get there and there's nothing. There's nothing. There's no water.
There's nothing. But Aladar, being a thinker, I would call him. He's more of a Ravenclaw in that sort.
Sense. He's a Ravenclaw.
But he's probably more of a Ravengriff, but or Griffinclaw. He thinks to himself. He goes down where the water should be, and he notices that with the Brachiosaurus. What is her name again?
Brachiosaurus. Baleen.
Baleen, yes. So Baleen, of course, is huge. And so she starts making these, like, pounds underneath her feet. And Aladar notices that there's kind of some moisture, or looking like some squished up mud almost, right underneath her feet. So he decides to start digging a little bit and have her press into the same hole that he just dug. Mm-hmm. And then they're able to find water.
Oh, no. And guess what? He goes, I'm going to share this with the rest of the herd.
Yeah, so he calls out for them, says, hey, water. They, of course, are panicking because they're so thirsty by this point. So thirsty. And, of course, Kron is an actual terrible leader.
Yeah, he goes over there.
He goes for the water first, uh-huh, instead of trying to make everybody else, you know, hey, you guys can drink first. I'm the leader. I should drink last, kind of a deal.
Or just, hey, let's dig more holes.
Yes, to find more water. Yes. So I don't understand why he couldn't have just been more of a leader in that sense. His idea of a leader, I think, is I'm in charge, so you do what I say. But that's not really what a leader should be. A leader should be caring about their herd. A leader should make sure that they're taken care of along with himself. Versus, I'm the priority. You do what I say. Kind of thing. But anyway, they're able to get everybody some water. And then Bruton and the scout get attacked by the Carnotaurs.
Yeah, they get attacked, and then the no-named Iguanodon, he gets eaten. And then
straight up eaten. It's not even like
Bruton.
They don't even try to hide it. It's like
And then Bruton, you know, he escapes. He gets wounded though, but he escapes. Mm-hmm. And he goes to warn the herd, you know, like the next morning, mm-hmm, you know, he's over there, he's like, oh, Carnotaurus, they're here, and they ate the other guy, and then you kind of hear them like roar in the background, and then what's his name, Kron's like,
you led them to us.
I'm like, it's a herd, dude. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not like you guys are hiding.
Right.
Carnotaurs!
What? They never come this far north.
The fireball must have driven them out. Ugh.
You led them right to us. Maybe you can feed them with your hide. Move the herd out. Double time!
I'm sure they could probably smell you from pretty far away. But so he essentially gets the herd to kind of hustle and bustle. But of course, Ima and Baleen are really not fast. So instead of leaving them behind, Aladar stays with them. And I really admire that about him.
Yep, they keep pushing, but you know, they're way separated.
Behind. Yeah, they're way behind. And there's some rain. There's a rainstorm. Which, you know, when was that water? When they needed it. But but they essentially find a cave for some cover. They get scared, though, because they think that one of the Carnotaurs is after them, but it's actually just Bruton, all wounded up.
Yeah, they hear him all grunt and stuff because he can't keep up with her because he's wounded. But guess what Aladar does? He's like,
you can come in.
You can come on in.
Like, we can take care of you. We can help each other. Meanwhile, Bruton is like, why? Like, why are you helping me?
Mm-hmm. Because ape together, ape strong.
Well, I think that Aladar is also the type of person that, you know, he's like, hey, we can help each other. If we all help each other, we'll make it to the grounds. And that's actually a conversation that he had with Neera at one point when they were talking, you know, flirting with each other and all that stuff. Because she was like, she didn't understand. She was like, why are you hanging out with these elderly dinosaurs? Like, why are you helping them? And, you know, Aladar tries to explain, like, if we all help each other, we can all make it to the nesting grounds. Yep. And I think she's starting to get the picture of what a good, you know, herd and teammate is supposed to look like. But anyway, what happens? Ooh, the Chronotaurs show up.
Yeah, they show up because essentially, you know, the cave entrance kind of turns almost into like a waterfall. Mm-hmm. Essentially. And so they're out there kind of sniffing around, and everybody's inside, you know, the lemurs, Aladar, everybody.
Trying to keep quiet.
And then something happens. I don't remember.
I think it's the Ankylosaurus. Makes some noise and moves some rocks around.
Yeah. Like moves a rock, and the rock
makes it all the way outside.
Makes it all the way outside. And that's what it's like.
Yep.
And then go inside. Rawr! Mm-hmm. And then, you know, a big fight incurs.
And Bruton actually sacrifices himself.
Yep.
For the group. Very admirable.
Yeah, he sacrifices himself like, no! Mm-hmm.
But he also kind of creates like a tumble of the rocks within the cave.
A tumble.
It's like a tumble. It's like a big old, you know, how would you describe it?
Avalanche.
Avalanche of rocks. A rock slide.
It's a cave-in.
Yeah, so he ends up getting all of these giant rocks to fall on one of the Chronotaurs. So one of them dies. Meanwhile, the other leaves the cave and just continues following the herd, I assume. And the group is kind of between a rock and a hard place, essentially. So they go deeper into the cave, and they see some light coming in from...
like a tiny little bit
of light coming from the other side.
And so Aladar's like, oh, I'm going to push these rocks. And he's like pushing. And, you know, also the lights get a little bigger. But then it all collapses. And then he gives up.
He gives up for a moment. He gives up.
But and then...
Baleen has to kind of tell him, like, I'm not going to die here.
Yep.
Like, we've gone this far. I'm not going to just sit here and do nothing.
Yeah.
So she's able to help move some of the rocks, and then finally everybody starts taking part in moving these rocks.
Oh, yeah, it was all dramatic. She's all like, wow. She's like, she goes up on a time, like, and boom, starts hitting those rocks. Yeah, but they're able to break through, and then they're in
the nesting grounds. The promised
lands.
The promised
lands. Moses has led his people to the promised land. Yeah.
So emotional.
Yeah. It is very beautiful. It's very beautiful. You know, the lemurs get all excited. Mm-hmm. They jump in the watering hole.
Big old watering hole, yes.
Yeah.
And Baleen makes waves.
Yeah, Baleen makes a giant wave. Probably just disturb all the ecosystems in there.
Oh, that's sure. Okay. Though. I'm sure that's okay. But yeah, so they make it, and they find Ema notices that the normal entrance for the nesting grounds is completely covered with stones. And the herd, if they do make it to the other side, they won't be able to get through.
Yeah. So what does Aladar do? He's like, I need to get the rest of my people.
Tell him.
I need to help them.
And of course, Ema's like, there's a Carnotaur after them. Like, well, what are you going
to
do?
We're just going to have to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And he does. He goes, he catches up to the herd as they get to the entrance that's blocked on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Kron, of course, is trying to make something happen with the situation, and he essentially tells the herd, we're going to have to climb over this.
We're like, shut up, you're done.
This is a terrible idea, not only because we don't know exactly how sturdy these rocks are, so you could be potentially just getting all of them killed. Not to mention some dinosaurs may not have the capacity. They might not have the leg strength or the arm strength or any of that, you know, going on to where they can actually make it to the other side.
Yeah, you guys don't have fingers. You guys might be able to talk, but you don't have fingers.
But anyway, Neera tries to essentially stand up to her brother and say, no, we should find another way let's do it. Let's find another way that everybody's safe and we can get to the nesting grounds. Kron still says no. And he forces these two little baby iguanodons to try to climb.
Yeah, and that's where Aladdin comes in. He's like, everybody, everybody.
There's another entrance.
I'm here to help you.
And, you know, I am Moses.
I am Moses. Hear me. We're going to the promised land. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, but Kron, like, challenges him. But then
they have a big old fight.
Yeah, they got a big old fight. Like, he, like dude gets cut. Like, cuts him in the chest.
Well, because at first, what Aladar was trying to do was like, listen, I've made it to the nesting grounds. Follow me. And so the group is starting to kind of move around. And, you know, Kron does challenge him at first. But at first, Aladar just turns his back on him. He just continues walking. And that's when they really start that fight, because he's so just offended that Aladar won't even challenge him to a fight. Mm-hmm. I just think that Aladar is more of a peaceful peacemaker type of guy.
But, you know, but Aladar kicks his butt. Mm-hmm. And then the herd starts moving. But that's when the Carnotaur
shows up.
Carnotaur shows up, and everybody's like scared. They're starting to back up, and Aladar's like, no, together.
Let's stick together.
And they start going, they start yelling. They start yelling at that Carnotaur. This way.
No! Don't move. If we scatter, he'll pick us up. Stand together.
I mean, I'd freak out too. I'm over here. I'm a Carnotaur.
Carnotaur has many teeth in its mouth that can barely fit its lips.
Yeah. I'm over here. I eat these guys, and every single time I show up, they start running, and now all of a sudden they're yelling at me. I'd freak out too. And he's like backed up in a corner, just like, I don't know what to do.
I mean, I just came to eat one of you. Yeah, I wasn't going to eat all of you.
Yeah, it's not that big of a deal. That's cool. And then the whole horde, you know, the horde, the herd, you know, and they just start going. They just start walking away. Start going to the cave entrance. Mm-hmm. And then the Carnotaur, like, once they all kind of like leave, because
Kron is still trying to climb this,
yeah, because he's dumb,
this big old mountain of rocks.
So the Carnotaur sees Kron all by himself. He's like, oh man, I'm gonna get that guy. Yeah.
And what does Nira do?
Yeah, what does she do?
She goes to help her brother.
Yeah, no, I thought Aladar went to go help him.
So oh, wait, no. Nira went first. Yeah,
she went first.
Aladar is in love with Nira.
Oh, heck yeah.
So, of course, he's like, hey, my girl is not going to get eaten by this Carnotaur.
Uh-huh. That's right. That's right. Because we got to find a sex tree in the promised land. So the Carnotaur kills Kron. Like, you know, they fight, but then the Carnotaur gets him. And then as he's dying, he sees Aladar.
Aladar almost gets grabbed by the Carnotaur with his teeth and dragged all the way down this cliff.
Dragged out, you know, but the Carnotaur falls off the cliff and dies. Kron's dead. And then Nira and Aladar meet back up with the herd.
They have a cute little moment, though, because she's, of course, very sad. She cries. We actually see some tears from Nira. She just lost her brother. And they do their little thing, you know, kind of like in Lion King, where they just put their necks together.
Oh, yeah, they put their necks together. Yeah, they hug.
That's their kissing? Oh, I thought that was their kissing.
Okay, they hug and kiss. It's a hug. It's a combo.
But they are able to make it to the nesting grounds with the whole group, the whole herd, and they all look so happy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's a little bit of tragedy at the beginning. There's a little bit of tragedy closer to the end, yes. but ultimately, you know, the herd makes it to the nesting ground, and then, you know, it ends with his brother. What's his brother's name? The lemur.
I forget.
Yeah, it's like 10 or something like that. You know, he ends up getting a bunch of girls.
Bunch of lemurs because he's essentially probably the only eligible.
He's the only male. Dude.
He's the only male lemur probably left in a bit.
Yeah. So he's going to be busy.
He's going to be busy. They got to procreate. They got to do, you know, they got to do the do. Yeah.
But Aladar and Suri, they have a nest of little baby iguanodons. You mean Neera?
Zuri's the little sister.
Oh, okay, Neera. Neera. Suri is the little sister.
Yes. But yeah, so they have babies, everything seems to be good. Everything seems to be safe. Everybody's chilling. And we just fade to black.
And then in comes Dinosaur 2. Yep. No, I don't think they made a Dinosaur 2.
I don't think so.
It was just the first one.
I don't think so. Though I do understand why people probably would have wanted a sequel. Because people really love The Land Before Time so much that The Land Before Time has about 7 or 8 movies.
But have you seen them? They're not that good.
I saw the one with the cold stone of fire.
Cold stone creamer?
No, I can't remember. The Land Before Time, where the rest of them essentially became musicals.
Okay.
Yeah, because the first one was a musical. But yeah, they essentially became like musicals with songs. Really cute movies, though. I only saw one other one, though. They looked cute, though. Well, that's it for Dinosaur.
Dinosaur.
What are we going to give this? Out of lemurs.
I mean, I'd give it a 3. 3 lemurs.
I give it a 3 lemurs, too. It's a solid movie, but it's not, you know, the best.
No, it's not a wow.
It's not the best of the best. Because, see, the thing is that Disney has so many great movies that we're going to start getting a little picky here with certain movies and their scores. Because not every single movie was, you know, the best. Just like when you were talking about Wreck-It Ralph. Wreck-It Ralph 2? You know, in comparison, like, there's just going to be some that are not going to be as good, you know? That's okay. So, 3 lemurs for Dinosaur 2000. Who was the best?
Who was the best? I mean, Aladar.
Aladar.
Yeah.
My main man.
He was, he had honor. He had respect. Okay.
Dignity.
He had dignity. You know, when, you know, he was scared, but he was still able to act. You know? Yeah, the star of the show.
The fact that he was so willing to help others, even though he could have easily been like, okay, well, I'm going to leave you guys. I'm going to catch up with the herd. I'm going to leave you guys. He didn't. He helped everyone. Even Kron with his ungrateful ass.
Yep. He could have got eaten a long time ago.
He could have. I mean, he let his friend die.
He did. They weren't friends.
Probably not. Maybe he was related to him somehow. Like cousin. uncle. I don't know. Who was the worst?
Who was the worst?
Mm-hmm.
The Carnotaurs.
I was going to say Kron. See, the Carnotaurs are just doing what they do.
But you got to think, even though he was bad, he was bad.
Do you think he had good intentions?
But, you know, I mean, if it wasn't for him, they wouldn't have got to where they were going.
Oh, that far, you mean?
They wouldn't have got that far.
Yeah, I guess so. But I feel like if it had been up to Kron, the whole herd would have died.
Oh, yeah. Ultimately, in the end, they would have been dead. But they wouldn't have got to the promised land. Because they did. They got to the promised land. They just, you know, the main entrance was closed off.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
But those darn Carnotaurs, they just eating.
Like, yeah.
I mean, by the time they got to the cave, I mean, they ate what? Like 3 or 4 dinosaurs. I would have been full by then.
Full? I mean, I don't know. You would have been full. I don't know what their digestive system looks like, so I don't know if they like burn through it. Like, maybe they got a high metabolism and they got to like eat like 2 dinosaurs a day.
Whoa, that's a lot. I mean, those dinosaurs are big.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are we going to do next? What's our next movie?
What's our next movie? I actually had no. I actually haven't been thinking. We're going to do Wreck-It Ralph.
We're going to do Wreck-It Ralph. Yep. This is going to be so good.
Yep. He's bad, and that's good.
Ooh. Oh, that's from the movie. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, bye.
Bye, everybody.
Good.
Thanks for listening.